Blog Talk Radio.
Ball in Chicago, game tied at 24, but the play we may be talking about all night is the Zach LaVine dunking. To find out more on that, we have to check in with the Zach LaVine fan club. Luckily, we have him on the line.
No, we have the president of the fan club.
The founder and the president, and he's not just the president, he's a member too. Here's Zach LaVine and Sam Mitchell.
Oh my God. Let me throw my...
Yo, this is me from Lee and Keys. For some strange reason, I'm having some technical difficulties tonight. Why this ain't working, man? Why this ain't working? Bookmarks.
Oh man, what's up, bro?
Yo, what's going on, man?
That is mad low. Hold up. I gotta turn up my volume. This thing is mad low. All right, we in now. Man, this reporter at the press conference looks like, Young Thug. You know Young Thug?
Uh-huh.
There's a reporter at the USC press conference right now. I swear this dude looks very similar to Young Thug. I don't know like if that's him or what, but probably not, but it does look a lot like him.
Yo, so what's been going on, babe?
Nothing, bro, just working, you know what I mean? One day at a time.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I just started a new job recently, so I've just been doing it, just learning. Learning their processes and just getting it done.
Yeah, I got an interview tomorrow for a new job, so I'm hoping it all goes well, man. I'm excited for the opportunity.
Wow, bro.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Well, best. I wish you the best of luck for that. Well, you don't need luck, but it's gonna go good. It's gonna go good.
Yeah.
You know, my thing is, I feel like people don't really need luck. They really just need to think good thoughts. You think it'll go well.
I'm very excited.
I know you know. You taught me that.
Yeah, man, you gotta let your positive energy, man, be the lead factor.
Yeah, man, you taught me that, and I still use that to this day, so. I'm sure you're going to go in there and kill that. What'd you say?
Man, I got to bring up a topic tonight that I know is going to hurt your feelings, but I think we really, really got to start examining this guy's career, man. Robert Whittaker has pulled out of the Cannonier fight. It's like with Whittaker, you can't even get excited about him getting in the octagon until he makes the walk now. So how do you feel about him pulling out of another fight, Keys? Because I know you're a big fan of Robert Whittaker.
Well, I'm pretty sure if we go back and look at his last four fights, I'm pretty sure he has pulled out of three of his last four fights. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that number. Because I'm pretty sure he was scheduled to fight Gastelum twice, and both of them fell through. I'm pretty sure. Could be wrong, but at least once. And then I know he he was hurt for I don't know if you want to say he pulled out, but I know he was hurt when they were supposed to fight I think it was after he fought Romero the second time. And then he pulled out this time, so and I think there's more fights than that he's pulled out. I can't think of all that. I think there's a few more besides that, besides those. But those are just recently. I know because they had to do the what is it? When Whittaker was hurt, when they wanted Bisping was. That's why I think that's part of the reason why they did have Bisping fight George St. Pierre instead of fighting, because I think Bisping had actually requested to fight the winner of Whittaker and Romero the first time they fought, when they fought for the interim title. Because first Bisping was hurt, and then Whittaker won, but then he was hurt. So then Bisping wanted to fight, but Whittaker wasn't ready, so then the GSP fight was already there, so he just took that, which I don't blame him. Who wouldn't take that fight? But, yeah, Whittaker gets hurt a lot, so it's not always him pulling out of the fight when it's already scheduled, but he basically pulls out of the fight before he's hurt. He could be like the most inactive fighter that we've seen in a long time. I mean, I can't think of a guy who, I mean, when he was the champ, we used to have this conversation on this show a lot. We used to say, who has had the belt for this long of a time? We really didn't see any title defense for a long time. We really, you know, it's just crazy, man. He went a long, long time. But I never really complained. But we did examine it. I just never really complained because I'm such a fan. But it is thought to get into question whether he's just so injury prone. I don't know. He's just so injury prone. I don't know.
I know for me, when I saw it today, I was just like, I was kind of like sad for him, but then when you being objective, it's like, man, what's going on with this guy, man? Where he's always either injured or pulling out of fights. What's going on with him? And I think I'm at the point now where, and I'm at the UFC, is probably at a point now where they can't depend on this guy, man. You can't make him a main eventer if you can't depend on him. So, he's probably going to be relegated probably to, I wouldn't say prelim show, but he probably won't be a main event guy no time soon.
Yeah, and I don't know. Was that the main event of UFC London?
I don't know whether or not it was the main event, but I think it was the co-main event.
Okay, so because I was just watching, I just caught like the last probably 5 minutes of the McGregor Cerrone press conference, and one of the reporters asked Dana White about the main event of UFC London, and I don't know if that was that one. Because it would make sense for
that might be Woodley versus Evans.
Oh. Did that fight fall through too?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the one. I think if push comes to shove, Woodley versus Evans is going to be the main event.
Yeah, because I couldn't see them having the. Okay, I mixed up the two fights because I thought the Whittaker was in London. Because I thought they were trying to get Till versus Whittaker first, so I thought it would have made sense. But I think they wanted to do. Either way, though, it's kind of off. It's kind of irrelevant. But I don't know, man. He gets hurt all the time. This guy is basically at this point, like, even as a fan, I think you will be able to understand. If anybody wasn't familiar with Robert Whittaker, I'll make this analogy. He is basically the Derrick Rose of the UFC. This guy, like, if you're from New England, like, we had Rob Gronkowski on the Patriots. He's like the Gronkowski of the UFC. Let me think about this. Name off some players who are, like, injury prone. You know, can you name some players that are injury prone? Those are the first two that came to mind.
Kyrie Irving.
I don't really watch players. Kyrie Irving, yes. So all my Celtics people out here in Boston, we don't really rock with Kyrie Irving no more because he disrespected us. So we're not really a supporter of Kyrie Irving anymore. But even when he was here. He was basically like the Robert Whittaker of the, you know what I'm saying? Like that's like the same thing with Whittaker. So, yeah, man, I don't know.
What is your
dad? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like if he don't fight, he gets hurt. And if he does fight, he still gets hurt. So I don't, man, I don't know. That, I don't know. We might not see him fight at all. This year.
Yeah, man, because I'm sitting there like, man, God, this guy's pulled out of another fight, man. And it was just like, I kind of feel bad for Cannonier because this is the fight that'll probably launch him into the title picture if he was to win. Because, you know, basically they're making him prove himself as a title contender. So, man, I just feel bad for the guy. But at the same time, is Robert Whittaker, man, you got to get it together, bro.
you really got to get it together. I don't know what they said this time. He pulled out for personal reasons, but who cares? He pulled out.
Yeah, really. After a while, it's kind of just like, I mean, it's these guys a job to fight. Like, it's kind of like if I would have just keep coming, if I would just keep coming into work late, like the first time I'm late, I might like say, oh, I'm sorry I'm late, da da da. They're going to be like, okay. Second time late, oh, sorry I'm late, da da da. Okay, try not to be late. Third time I'm late, oh, sorry I'm late. Okay, you really need to be on time to work, da da. They might be mad. Fourth time I'm late, oh, sorry I'm late, da da. A lot of traffic. You know, this time, now it's, they're like, we can't do this. So it's kind of like that with Whitaker. It's like every time, you know, people don't care why after a while. You keep on doing the same mistakes, but keep on dropping the ball, like the excuse starts to matter less and less. People just, it's like, when are you going to just, you got to figure it out.
Actually, that fight is on the same card. That fight was going to be on the same card as Jane versus Joanna. So they still haven't came up with the main event for that card yet. So I guess we're just sitting and waiting. And that card ain't till March 7th.
So,
he pulled out of a March fight already.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, that's not a good look at all.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. I mean, it's like, another thing, too, is that, like, when somebody is your favorite of something, this is just my perspective on it. When somebody is your favorite of something, you're a fan for them for a reason. And the reason you're a fan of them is what they do something that you admire, and you like watching them do that thing because you feel like they're good at it. And it's inspiring for you to witness it. So you know, you enjoy that. That's where the fanism comes from. So I feel like Whitaker will probably start to lose a lot of fans' interest. People that would like to watch him. I feel like he probably already has with all these fights that he pulled out of. I mean, he pulled out of the Gastelum fight, if we want to go back to that. He pulled out of the Gastelum fight. I'm pretty sure it was the day of the fight. I want to say it was like a couple hours before the fight.
Yeah, it was the day of the fight because they said something had happened to him overnight or something. He had to have emergency surgery or something.
Man, that was terrible. I want to say he had a hernia. He had some kind of hernia, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he had to have emergency surgery or something.
But that was just like, man, the day of the fight. It was like a couple hours before the fight. I want to say it was like, I remember seeing it come out like maybe 3 p.m. that day or something like that. Literally the day of the fight, like a couple hours before the main car was, you know, like the prelims was about to kick off and the dude just dropped out of the fight. It was like, and it was in his home country. Man, you pulled out of the fight in your own backyard. That is crazy.
Yeah.
So you got to think, Whitaker must have fell off with all the Australian fans too, because Dana White gave him two main events in his backyard in 2019. One of them he pulled out a couple hours before his fight, and then the second one he done got knocked out. Oh man, he done got knocked out in the second round, and it really, he didn't even look good in the fight. He didn't even put on a good performance, and I was rooting for him. And I don't think he looked good. He looked too much on the offense, and he looked like he was basically charging such a calculated striker like Adesanya, who you're gonna get countered by, you know, chasing him down like that. He looked wild and crazy, like he was just going in there for the kill in the first 5 minutes, and it was a bad performance. So I can imagine he's lost a lot of fans in his home country too. I hate to say it.
Yeah, I'm just starting to worry about him, man. You know, if I was the UFC, I wouldn't book him for a main event fight. He wouldn't even be in a co-main event, man. You just can't depend on him, man. And when you start to feel the way that, I mean, especially when if I was the company and I started to feel the way towards a fighter like that, then it our relationship becomes strained. So, but you know, man, with a command, if you listen to get well soon, man. I know you said it was a personal issue, so hopefully you can get everything squared away, and you know we can get you back in the octagon, man. Some other news that came out this week: Kevin Lee is fighting in Brazil against Charles Oliveira.
Man, I love that fight. I love that fight. I love it. Yo, I'm going to tell you something. I wrote an article a while ago. So, yo, I haven't wrote anything for the scrap in a while. I kind of, since I started this new job, I've been working a ton of hours, and I don't have much time to do, you know, any of the side work. I did so much freelance work in 2019, you know, for different outlets, but I don't really have time to do work on the side right now. But so I haven't written anything for the scrap in a while, but, you know, a couple months back, I did write an article on the lightweight division and the UFC, and I broke down, you know, how I just wanted to see, some of these other guys, you know, more of the top 15 get these big fights, and I wanted to see these guys fight each other and eventually get to the title, like Charles Oliveira. That was a guy that I wrote about in my article, and I talked him up in a big way, and just saying, like, you know, I think he was like ranked number 15 or 14 at the time. You know, I don't know where he's ranked now, but I know he's in the mix. And this is just like a fight that answered my prayers when I wrote that article, was that I just wanted to see good fights like this, because you had guys in the division who weren't, for some reason, it was like you only really had, you know, the top five guys. People really wanted to see, you know, the top five guys mix it up. But this is a one that I personally, I just love this fight. And I can't believe that I actually saw some people saying that they feel like this is like a step down for Kevin Lee. And like, this isn't like a big enough fight. And I just don't understand, because ain't Charles Oliveira don't he have the record for the most submission wins ever in the UFC? Or is this the Matrix? I'm not sure. Somebody might have to.
Yeah. He has a lot of submissions. Let me see. Oliveira has the most submission wins in UFC history with 13.
Okay. So, if you want to say it isn't a big fight in terms of he's not a name, then that's a different – that is – you could go, you know, debate that over there. I don't really care about that. What I'm trying to say is if you like fights, and Oliveira is a fighter's fighter, so if you want to see a guy who finishes fights and a guy who is highly skilled, a true beast, and is underrated – you know, this is a big fight, because this is a stylistically a big fight. This is two guys who are both, you know, have similar weapons. And, you know, Oliveira's last fight, he actually just, I want to say he had a first round TKO. And I didn't even expect that from him. Usually you think, okay, Oliveira going to go in there, he's going to get this guy down, he's going to welcome him to the mat, and he's going to tap him out in like the first, you know, 2-3 minutes, or maybe he might even let the guys live until the second round. He'll tap him in. It's like usually you expect that, but he actually got a TKO win. I'm pretty sure it was kind of like a vicious, it might even been like a actual KO. It was like a, know, one hit a quitter kind of knockout. I forget, but it was like, it really like surprised me when he went in there and just dusted that guy like that. And then Kevin Lee kind of had the same thing in his last fight. And I didn't expect that from him either. He actually fought a top guy too. And he kind of just went in there and knocked his head off and with a head kick. So these are two real, exactly. So these, what I'm trying to say is if you want to say it's not a big fight because they're not a big name to you, then that's something else. But if you want to say it's not a big fight, stylistically, it is a big fight because these two guys are both killers. So if you want to see a good fight, this is a fight. If you want to see talk about a big fight, this is a big fight. But it's a big fight for you know, two killers.
Yeah, Charles Oliveira won by KO, TKO over Jared Gordon in the first round in his last fight. And we know Kevin Lee pulled off a stunning upset of Gregor Gillespie in his last fight. But I do like this fight. I think I like the way Kevin Lee is going about his business now. He's concentrating on getting better with each fight instead of jumping straight to the top and challenging for a title. I think this is a smart way to go about it, especially with his recent change in camps. But one thing about Kevin Lee that we know is his ground game isn't the best. It isn't bad, but it isn't the best. Fighting a guy like Charles Oliveira, his ground game would need to be on point in this fight. If I was Kevin Lee, I would try to keep this fight on the feet as much as possible. I don't know whether or not he's going to have a reach advantage or not, but I think he really, really, really needs to establish his jab and use his kicks and actually do a lot of feinting so that Oliveira can't time you. I think Oliveira times a lot of fighters by with his movement and with them knowing that he's going to take them down. So a lot of guys fall for that, and that's how they get submitted. Kevin Lee has a 3-inch reach advantage. So, you know, that's not significant, but it could play a part in him keeping Oliveira at distance. I love this fight, like you said. The lightweight division is probably one of the top two divisions, and the UFC lightweight division is probably one or two of the top divisions in all of MMA because of the names you have, the skill levels that you have in that division. And I love this fight, and I really like it because Kevin Lee is going to Brazil to fight a Brazilian. So that even adds more spice to it, and we know he can talk shit. So we'll see how it turns out. But I do like this fight, though.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for that one. I like what you said about, you know, Kevin Lee should probably try to keep it on the feet. You know, I feel like anybody who fights Charles off, you know, I feel like anybody who fights him should probably try to keep it on the feet. So yeah, I like what you said about that, because I mean, I know Kevin Lee has had his moments, you know, and he definitely submits guys too, but I'm sure he's thinking about that. And I would think in his camp right now that they're going to be going over that. And I'm sure they'll come in there with a strategy, because it's so crazy now with Kevin Lee, and, you know, you see more guys now are starting to move over there to TriStar Gym. Where GSP trains. So that changes a lot. So we'll see how they prepare for this.
Yeah, man. I I know that when we talk about fighters, you know, especially when they go on losing streaks, you know, one of the suggestions that we make is normally change your camp.
A lot of guys like to stay loyal to their camps, and there's no problem with that. But when you aren't getting better and your game plan is always the same, is your camp really doing you a service or a disservice? And I think your camp is doing you a disservice if they can't help you out. So that's where I'm at with that, though. So let me see what else I wanted to talk about tonight. Okay, I don't know whether or not you heard this, Keys, but have you heard that Conor McGregor is going to make anywhere between $60 to $80 million for this fight? And I know that's your boy. Do you think this is true, false? And if it's true, do you think he deserves to make that much money?
I did hear about that, and I heard the $80 million thing, and it's you know, I feel like I mean, I know the UFC. Like, I haven't seen the official purses, but I thought that I read somewhere that it might have been like Ariel Helwani that, or one of those ESPN guys that posted it up saying that the UFC, like the actual purses, are supposed to be McGregor. UFC is going to be paying McGregor $5 million, and then Cowboy is going to get $2 million, which that right there, I like. I feel like I'm glad that that Cowboy's getting his just due. You know, I'm glad that they're paying him a sufficient, what I feel like is a sufficient amount for a big fight for him. So, because, you know, this is a big money fight for him. So I'm glad he's getting paid. And it definitely, you know, the $80 million, though, I don't know, you know, I don't know like where it all comes from. So, I mean, do I feel like he deserves to make $80 million? I mean, I guess I don't. You know, I'm cool with him. It doesn't really matter to me. I mean, I guess he does. I don't really. I mean, I just want to see him fight. I don't even care. Like, if he just made $5 million, like, and then I'm sure he'll make a bit more from the pay-per-view points. You know, I'm sure him and Cowboy will both make a good chunk of money on top of their purse from the pay-per-view points, and you know, I'm sure McGregor will have. I know he has like his sponsorship, you know, with the Octagon. He'll have. I think he'll have the proper 12. Will be. I don't know how the money gets around, but I'm sure there'll be some other money in play there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he'll make money. So I think he deserves to. I mean, I guess that don't really concern me though. I'm just excited to see him fight.
Yeah, I'm reading something on MMA News, Middle Easy, and they said, according to the Republic World, the former two-weight champion McGregor will reportedly be earning his highest ever career-based purse in the UFC with $5 million. He made $3 million for his fight against Khabib. And Cerrone will be making a career high $2 million. My thing here is basically the UFC. I understand Conor is a big draw, but why wouldn't Max Holloway make $5 million? He fought, what, 4 to 5 times in the last year? John Jones has fought 3 or 4 times in the last year. I understand that Conor McGregor gets numbers, but I think his inactivity should be taken into account of how much he gets paid. But looking at this $5 million, you know, I'm really not mad about that. If it was between 60 and 80, I would be super pissed. But, you know, I just don't like the way the UFC treats Tim better than everybody else that's in the locker room. And this is why I keep harping on the fighters need to create a union. Once you get a union, you can put a pay scale into effect on what fighters should make based on, is it a championship fight, the number of fights you've had, is it a main event, a co-main event, things like that. That way there is no gray area between who gets what. Everybody knows that it should be between this amount and this amount. But until then, you'll have this coming up all the time. Why is this guy making this much and this guy only making this much? And to me, it's a shame. I feel bad for Max Holloway, man. I feel bad for Israel Adesanya, who's been super active. So, but, you know, until the fighters decide to do something about it, the UFC will keep getting over.
Yeah, you know, Adesanya, I do think, though, is going to be in the near future. I think he's going to become really big in the UFC. I mean, he already is a fan favorite. And, you know, he definitely has a lot of, you know, he definitely has a big following behind him. He definitely has a country behind him. He definitely has, you know, definitely has the skill set and definitely puts on the kinds of performances that's going to attract, you know, even a lot more fans, you know, from the performances he's putting on. So, now I do think Adesanya is going to be getting some of these, you know, big paydays that we're talking about here in the next, honestly, I think the next year or two. I think Adesanya, we will see Adesanya get, you know, his first $1 million payday within the next year or two. I really do. Because I think he's going to be huge and he'll, you know, likely be one of the biggest stars in the UFC. I really think he is. So, you know, I just wanted to say that because you had mentioned Adesanya. So I think he will get his just due really soon. You know, he'll do a couple more fights. I think he'll do, we'll see, you know, a title defense from him. You know, I think he'll fight Paulo Costa. You know, he'll either fight Paulo Costa or Romero or Yoel Romero in 2020 for his first defense. And I think once he, you know, he'll probably make some good money on that one. Once he beats one of those guys, I think he'll probably get an even bigger fight after that one. Maybe we'll see what happens. You know, I'm not going to get into that, but I think he will get his first big payday, probably his first $1 million payday within about a year, a little more. So that's good.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, man. You know, I'm all about guys getting compensated, you know, for what they do. I think with the growth of UFC, especially with them having this big deal with ESPN, the fighters should be getting compensated as well, not just the company. So maybe we'll see something like that change in the near future. You know, I wouldn't be mad about it. I think it might hurt fans because UFC guys might decide to boycott or go on strike, and nobody ever likes strikes. But sometimes you have to do that to better a situation. So, but you know, like I said before, one thing about fighting is every fighter is their own individual contractor, and not everybody has the thoughts of all in mind. They have the thoughts of me in mind. What can I do to to further myself, my career, and make as much money as I can make. So, but you know, hopefully, you know, we can get something that happens. But if not, you know, the sport will go on. It's all good. But switching gears, I want to talk about your boy Conor McGregor says he wants to rematch Floyd Mayweather or fight Manny Pacquiao. How do you feel about this?
Honestly, I'm not a fan of either one of those fights. You know, a couple years ago, you know?
You're breaking up, bro. Ryan, start over.
Hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Does it sound okay?
Yeah, you good.
All right, I tried something else, so hopefully it sounds better. What I was saying was is that when he fought Alvarez, how much better it would have been and the better fights we would have got, and I also think the better his, you know, next couple of years after that would have been between then and now, how much differently things would have shaped out if he had just kept fighting in the UFC. And I guess that's what I just don't support the boxing thing. I don't really care about that. I'm not really much of a fan of boxing, so that's probably part of it. But also, I just like to see him fight in the UFC because that's his home, not boxing. So, you know, if one of those cowards, you know, wants to come over to the UFC and fight a real fight, then that's something that I'd want to watch. But I don't care about a boxing match, so I don't really have any interest in either one of those fights. And yeah, that's pretty much how I feel about that.
And I think diehard UFC fans cringe every time he talks about going into boxing, because boxing gives you that immediate big payday, whereas the UFC doesn't. And Conor McGregor fans, you know, some feel that, you know, he was winning the fight. I think I had him up two rounds, but he was starting to fade down the stretch. So I just don't see an MMA guy going in beating a seasoned champion in boxing in a boxing ring. Now, I understand the financial side of it. UFC fighters will never make what boxers make. So if you can get a boxing fight with a boxer and get paid, you know, the way you get paid, what they kind of sort of what they get paid to, go make that money. But I think for Conor, he needs to reestablish himself as an MMA fighter and, you know, get more eyes on him right now. And, you know, just a little bit off topic, I think right now he's in a transition part of his life, whereas I think he's working on his the way people perceive him to be. He really hasn't been doing anything outlandish or saying anything outlandish. I think all this little stuff he even got himself into over the last year and a half, 2 years, it's probably the made him look in the mirror and be like, yo, what am I doing? You know, I don't have to do this to be successful. You know, I'm famous. You know, let me get back to being, you know, Conor McGregor, a good human being. And he's actually been showing me that here leading up to the fight. But I sure hope he doesn't get back in the boxing ring, man. Because I knew once he made that $100 million that it would be all about him becoming a celebrity instead of a fighter. And that's what happened. He became a celebrity. So, but we'll see what happens Saturday when he fights around Cowboy Cerrone. And I really don't think Cowboy has a chance because he's saying everything that gives me cause to pause. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got knocked out in the second round. So, but it is what it is. You know, I just hope Conor don't go back to boxing.
Yeah, I don't want that. They say that would not move the needle. That boxing would not move the needle with me. And or with a lot of us, I would think.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that either.
Yeah, so we're just gonna call snooze on that, and we're gonna have some UFC fights, and we're gonna watch in the UFC, and we're just gonna let the boxing thing, let that one go. Speaking of the boxing, we'll probably have to talk about on our next show is the Wilder and Tyson Fury press conference that actually, I think that was like sometime this week because I know I was watching a playback of it on YouTube last night. So I watched a little bit of that press conference, so maybe we could talk about that on one of our next shows and I can get your opinion on that fight, how you might see that one going.
Well, Fury came out and said he's going to knock Wilder out in the second round.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I may not know much of anything about boxing, but I really don't see that happening. I feel like a bet for someone to make to say that that was not going to happen is not a bad bet at all. But we'll have to get your expert opinion on that fight, and if you had seen any of that press conference, maybe get your view. You on both head in the press conference. Actually, Deontay Wilder was really outspoken in the press conference too. He was really going in. He actually had me laughing at a point too with some of the stuff he was saying. He definitely sells a good fight. He definitely does. He has the character for it, that Wilder.
I don't see Fury knocking him out. But like I said, before their first fight, I think Fury is the better boxer because his skills are a little bit more advanced than Wilder's. And I think Wilder throws too many wild punches. And I think when you throw wild punches, you leave yourself open to being countered, like Robert Whittaker did against Israel Adesanya. So I think that's why Fury is definitely the better boxer. I think Wilder looks for the one-shot knockout too much, causing him to lose rounds. I think in this fight against Fury, he had to be super busy, not have no lulls in the fight, keep his hands moving, keep his feet moving, make Fury work. But I know that we want to talk about this card coming up this weekend. We got about 10 minutes. So, you ready to do some predictions?
Yeah, so this next one is not that difficult for me to make predictions. I've actually kind of already briefed through, so the early prelims. Let's just do the prelims and the main card. I'm feeling just starting out with the prelims. So I actually don't know about this first one right here. I don't know this Grant Dawson versus Chaz Skelly. I know the Chaz Skelly.
Just jump to the because I don't know none of those cats either.
I might just do one. I'm going to just start with this and say I think Macy Barber is gonna beat Roxanne Modafferi rather easily. That's my prediction for that fight. I think she's going to make that look very easy. It's not going to be close.
And I like Sadiq Youssef to beat Andre Feely in their fight.
Yeah, me too.
That's the fight right before Roxanne Modafferi versus Macy Barber. I think that Feely versus Youssef fight is going to be a good one. But I think I'm going to go with Youssef in that fight. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a fight of the night candidate. I think both of you guys can go. So I'm looking forward to that fight. All right, so moving up to the main card.
Yeah.
We got... Go ahead.
Yeah, you want to go to this fight? No. Still, we're going to the Pettis fight because I already agree with what you said.
Yeah, we got Anthony Pettis versus Diego Ferreira. Who you got?
So, I really don't know about Pettis. I'm really unsure about Pettis because the way he looked versus Diaz, I really think he's good. But I mean, I guess a factor in this is that he's going back down to 155, so I guess that's something to think about. But I really don't know too much about the Ferreira character. I don't even know if I've seen him fight before. So, I mean, he's a minus 240 favorite, so there's got to be some reason for those odds. So I take it that he's, you know, probably like an underrated guy, just under the radar killer. So I'm gonna go with Ferreira. I think Ferreira is gonna beat Pettis in this one. I just don't think Pettis. I don't know. I think Ferreira is gonna get this one. I have a feeling Pettis is not in it right now.
And actually, I'm kind of sort of leaning the same way. Earlier this week, Anthony Pettis came out saying he's suing USADA. I guess he cut his hand on his specimen container prior to the Nate Diaz fight. His trainers wanted him to pull out the fight, but he didn't. So I don't know whether or not that played a major role in his performance. And I think fighting at 170 for your last couple fights, then coming down to 155, I really don't know how that plays out. But I really don't know too much about this Diego Ferreira. So, I really want to go with Ferreira, but I'm going to stick with the gut and go with Anthony Showtime Pettis to win. All
right, so that's one. You have Claudia Gadelha versus Alexa Grasso. And this one actually is dead even. It looks like they're both – this is pretty much a pick'em fight. It looks like they're both sitting at a minus 115. I'm just looking at the CBS Sports odds, but it's an even fight. This one, I'm going to go with Claudia Gadelha. I just think that Alexa Grasso had a really nice start to her MMA career. I want to say she was undefeated for, you know, her first 10 or so fights. And then when she came to the UFC and she started fighting better competition, she lost a couple fights. So she's been kind of up and down. Gadelha has also been kind of up and down. And she took a bad loss or two recently, one of those being to Andrade. I just think Adelia's fought the better competition and she's been tested more. And, you know, I think she's going to bounce back big in this one and get a big win here. So I'm going to go Adelia.
I still made in the same way as you. I'm looking at Alexa Grasso's record since she's been in the UFC. She's actually 1, 2, 3 wins, 3 losses, and her 3 losses come against basically top 5 competition. Esparza, Tatiana Suarez, and Felice Herrick. She might be one of these people that the lights are too bright for her in the UFC. And when she fights top-ranked competition, you know, maybe she's overwhelmed. I think in this fight, Claudia Gadelha definitely been a true veteran. I think she's going to probably take down Ms. Grasso to see whether or not she can get back up. I'm with you. I think Claudia Gadelha wins this fight. Would I be surprised if Grasso won? No. But I'm going to go with the experienced veteran in this fight. I'm going with Claudia Gadelha.
Okay, and the next ones, you have Alexi Olenek versus Maurice Greene. This Alexi Olenek going to have a – go ahead.
Man, I don't know about this one either. Alexi only has 71 professional fights. Maurice Greene has 12. So Lenny has basically the experience factor over Mr. Greene. Man, I really don't know. Both they heavyweights. Oh man. I'm going to go with the upset, man. I'm going to go with Maurice Greene to win this fight. I don't know why I'm going with him, but I'm going with him to win this fight.
I'm going to go with Greene, too, because I just feel like I've been on a different than the definitely winning the fight.
Yeah, you missed again, Keys.
How about, does it sound better now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going with Greene. I'm going with Greene, too, because lately when I've been going with the veteran versus the new guy, I've been the veteran's been losing. So I'm going to go with Greene. I think he's more fresh. He's fought one too many fights. So I think Greene's gonna get the win in this one. It's going to be a big win for him in his career.
All right. So next up, we got Holly Holmes versus Raquel Pennington.
So home at Pennington is, I mean, I guess I could just look at both of their last two fights. Home got knocked out, and Pennington, I don't even know who she fought in her last fight, to be honest. I just know they both lost, and they both fought for the title and both lost. Pennington went the distance. Well, actually, no, she didn't go the distance. She was like a, I think like her corner, like they threw in the towel because it was, she was getting bloodied up really bad. I think she like broke her nose.
Yeah, she lost to Amanda Nunez, Jermaine Duranemi, and then she beat Aldana in the split decision.
Yeah, so I don't know. This is a tough one to call for me. This honestly might be the toughest one on the card for me to call right now. I really don't. I mean, it's like every time. I don't know, man. I'll go with Holly Holm, I think. I'll go with Holly Holm because I just feel like she'll probably use – she'll fight at – she'll use her – her. She'll fight at a distance more, and I feel like she'll be – you know, after getting knocked out in her last one, I think she'll be a bit more I think she'll switch it up a little bit more with her strikes, and I think she'll just try to keep Bennington at a distance a bit more. And she'll fight from a distance, and she'll get it done.
Looking at Holly Holm's record here lately, she's lost 5 out of her last 10. You could say 5 out of her last 7 actually she's lost. She's lost to Amanda Nunes, Sabor, Jermaine Duranemi, Valentina Shevchenko, and Misha Tate. But she has fought Pennington before, and she won via split decision. I'm going to go with Holly Holm to win this fight. Even though I think Pennington will probably be more game this time around, I'm going to go with Holly Holm kicking and striking and foot movement to prepare her to victory over Raquel Pennington.
Okay, so that brings us to the main event of the evening. You want me to go first? Or you want to go first?
I'll go first. I really think if Donald Cerrone would come into this fight with an open mind that he could use all his tools and his toolbox to get the win, I think he could actually make this into a fight. But every time I hear him open his mouth to talk about his game plan is to stand and bang with Conor McGregor, which I think is a terrible idea. So with that being said, I got Conor McGregor winning by second round knockout.
Yeah, I just I was watching somebody had posted the third round from Khabib McGregor's fight, just the third round they posted on YouTube the other day, and I was watching it back, and go look up that round. If anybody was wondering, go watch that on YouTube. And you will see that actually Khabib attempted, I want to say it was 3, if not 4, takedowns. McGregor stuffed all of those takedowns in the third round and kept it on his feet and decisively won the third round. I just don't see Cerrone being able to – take Conor down. I think Conor is going to do a good job of keeping the fight standing, and he's going to put on a striking clinic in this fight. And I think it'll look similar to what we saw in 2016 versus Alvarez. But, you know, I could see it going a bit longer than that, maybe third round. I mean, I could see what you're saying with second round. Maybe third round. We'll see. You know, McGregor probably, I'll say third round knockout, but second round, you could be right. Either one of those, it doesn't even matter. But yeah, McGregor's going to, the last time we've seen Cowboy, you know, when he fought Mike Perry was kind of stupid, man, to try and take Cowboy down. Like, if you're going to welcome the fight to the ground, of course he's going to tap you. But this ain't that. So this ain't that. That's all I got to say. That's all I got for that. I just can't wait. I'm excited.
Well, going down Saturday, so my excitement level isn't really high on this fight because Donald Cerrone has kind of zapped that for me with the things he's been saying, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully both guys make the walk because I know the UFC has definitely jumped through hoops to put this card together. So hopefully both guys make the walk on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about that. Hopefully, yeah, but I don't even want to worry about that. Yeah, I hope they do too. But I'm just excited. I don't even be for that fight particularly. I'm not even thinking about like I make a prediction, but I'm not even really thinking about my prediction. Like I just the fight overall. I'm just too excited. And I just want to see McGregor put on a good performance. I don't even care. Like everybody want to talk about like you know the next fight and you know if he knocks him out or. You know, the reporters at the press conference say, like, oh, if Saturday goes well, do you see this? Like, get no. No, 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 no. That ain't it. That ain't it. At least for me, that ain't it. I'm not thinking about the next fight. I don't think about none of that. I just want to see a good performance. I seen a picture of Conor looking like he was praying. Okay, so I feel like And from the 5 minutes I watched in the press conference, he was very calm and respectful, but confident, which is fine in my book. And I like the way it seems like he's done a 180 since his last one, and I really like that. So I just want to see a good performance, and for him to keep the same energy that he seems to be on. Maybe do a little bit more praying before the fight. Keep that energy. And see a good performance. That's really what I want to see. Forget my prediction. That prediction is what I want to see. I'm just excited.
Well, it's a big fight. Conor's back in the octagon. So you know there'll be a lot of casual fans filling up the sports bars this weekend. So, hope it's a good fight. I hope there's no shenanigans. Mason Barber, looking forward to seeing her fight. So, yeah. So we went a little bit over. Any last words for the folks?
No, that's all I got. Everybody just do your best. Do your best. Be positive. Go out and Lee's probably going to buy himself a bottle of Jameson this weekend. He's going to talk about how Jameson, how Proverbs 12 is inferior to Jameson while he sips the Jameson, and that's fine. I'm going to have a bottle of Proverbs 12, man-made Irish whiskey, possibly two bottles with some of the family. We're going to have possibly two bottles with some of the family. We're going to have a small size fight party. I'm going to bring my Xbox over there. We're going to stream ESPN Plus on the big TV. Probably have about around eight of us watching the fights. So that's going to be good. I'm going to enjoy that. So everybody, just do it. Life is beautiful. That's all I got.
Yeah, man. I don't know whether or not I'm going to watch the fight at home or whether or not I'm going to go out and watch it. But I'll definitely be checking it out. Definitely staying away from the Irish bars this weekend because I already know it's going to be crazy for Conor. So with that being said, hopefully everybody get out, check the fights out. Welcome back to the Octagon for Conor McGregor. Lee and Keys, another good show tonight. Talk about a lot of things. Really want to say Robert Whittaker, man. Hopefully we get to see you back in the Octagon real soon, bro. And hopefully for Cannoneer, they find him a replacement fight. So that being said, thanks everybody for listening tonight. Lee and Key signing out. And then closing, like always. Peace!